Our scripture text this afternoon is found in Revelation chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. Revelation 9, 1 through 12. The title of this message, The First Woe Trumpet. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. This week I received a slick, multicolored ad from the Seventh-day Adventist promoting a, quote, free seminar, unquote, to be held September the 30th in Belton. And the theme of this seminar was to be Revelation Speaks Peace. Well, last week's and today's text are parts of the Revelation that certainly do not speak peace. Last time we looked at the first four trumpets containing the judgments of God during the coming tribulation. The judgments of the first four trumpets were catastrophic. But the last three will be even worse, says the angel in Revelation 8:13. Look back at the 13th verse of chapter 8. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. The angel in Revelation 8:13 pronounced a threefold woe on the people of earth. In today's text, we have the blowing of the fifth trumpet, which is also the first of the three woes pronounced by the angel in 8:13. Now, let's keep in mind that the first four trumpets, at which we looked in our previous message, affected the physical universe. Hail and fire mingled with blood, a great burning mountain cast into the sea, a star named Wormwood falling on the fresh waters of earth, and the sun, moon, and stars were partially darkened. So those first four trumpets dealt with the physical universe, but the last three, the first of which we'll look at today, deal with the spiritual realm. The opening of the bottomless pit, the demons unleashed, and their leader revealed. This has to do with the spiritual world. So let us look first in this text at the angel with the key to the bottomless pit. Verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. When the fifth of the special angels of the presence of God sounded, John saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. This star was evidently an angel who fell from heaven. It was not an inanimate piece of space material, but an angel. Note that this angel is referred to in this first verse with the personal pronoun of him. To him was given the key. And in verse 2, he is referred to with the personal pronoun he. He opened the bottomless pit. Now, angels are at least once in the scriptures, besides here, called stars. That is found in Job 38:7, that tells us that at the creation, the angels sang and praised God. Let's turn to Job 38 and verse 7. Job 38 and verse 7. I read this to show that at least one other time in the scriptures, the angels are referred to as stars. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, that is probably a Hebrew parallelism, and which says the same thing in two different ways. The morning stars sang together, that's the angels sang, and the sons of God, that's also angels, shouted for joy. We know that has to be angels because there wasn't anybody else at the creation. So this is the third star that John says in Revelation he saw fall from heaven. You may recall that in Revelation 8:8 and 9, he saw a burning mountain, which was a meteor, fall into the sea. And then in Revelation 8:10 and 11, he saw a star named Wormwood, which was a meteor that fell on the fresh waters of the earth. And here in verse 1 of our text today, John saw a star that was an angel fall to the earth. And we're not told who this angel is. So let's not get bogged down in trying to identify him. If God wants us to know, he'll tell us. Some people want to argue about things like that and they get clear off the message. But we're not told who this angel is. Many commentators think that he is Satan. I looked at several commentaries that just said right off, well, this is no doubt Satan. But the fact that Revelation 21 through 3 says that this angel will eventually bind Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years makes it impossible that this angel with the key to the bottomless pit is Satan. Turn to Revelation 21 through 3. And we'll see this same angel involved here. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit. Remember, he was just given that key in our text. And a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So that angel can't be the same as Satan, because that angel is the one that binds Satan and cast him into the bottomless pit. Well, the bottomless pit is mentioned here. I remember as a boy visiting Carlsbad Caverns. I hope you'll go there sometime if you've not been there. It's really worth it. The biggest cave I ever saw that has That's one cave. Now, Mammoth Cave in Kentucky is bigger, but it's divided into three or four caves. This is one big cave. And we came to a place, and the ranger said, there's just a big hole, maybe as big around as this auditorium, maybe even bigger, you know, this kind of area here. And he said, this is the bottomless pit. And we looked down there, everybody shining their flashlights down there, couldn't see anything, but just dark, just as far as you could see. And so he picked up a rock and threw it in there. And it just bounced off this side and this side and this side and this. And it just went on and on and on. And who knows how deep it was. Well, that really made an impression on me. And every time I read about the bottomless pit in Revelation, I think about that. But the Greek word that's translated bottomless pit here is the word abyssos. And it can also be translated abyss. In fact, that's our English word, abyss. Abyssos, or abyss, occurs seven times in the book of Revelation. And the last mention is in Revelation 20 and verse 3, and that we just read, when a mighty angel binds Satan and throws him into the abyss for 1,000 years, while Christ will reign on the earth. This bottomless pit, this abyssos, is translated in Luke 8:31 with the words "the deep." And I find this to be very interesting. If you'll turn to Luke 8 and verse 31, here we have some demons referring to the bottomless pit. Same word, abyssos, but it's translated here as the deep. These demons in Christ's day feared being sent into the abyss or the bottomless pit. And so they begged the Lord Jesus, and they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. That is the abyss, the bottomless pit. The abyss is the abode of some demons who have been chained in darkness, of whom Peter speaks in 2 Peter 2:4. And we'll have more about this in a moment. But Revelation 11:7 and Revelation 17:8 tell us that the beast, or the Antichrist, came from the abyss and will eventually go into perdition, or the lake of fire. Verse 1 of our text tells us that to this angel was given the key to the bottomless pit. Where did he get that key? Who gave it to him? Revelation 1:18, there the Lord Jesus says that he had the key of hell. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. So I believe that Christ must be the one who will give this angel this key. He's the one who has the keys. Well, next in verses 2 through 6, the bottomless pit is open. Look at verse 2. And he, that is the angel, opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So this star, this angel, took the key and opened the bottomless pit. In this fifth trumpet, the first woe, we have the opening of the abyss of hell. And here, the wall between earth and hell is broken down. When this angel opened the bottomless pit, immediately vast amounts of smoke billowed out. And it looked like smoke coming out of a great furnace. So much smoke boiled up out of the pit that the sun and the air were darkened. And here was more pollution as God's judgment on wicked men. In verse 3, John says that swarms of terrible creatures called locusts that had stings like scorpions came out of the smoke. Look at verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Now, I'm going to make a statement. I don't want you to make a decision about me being a liberal or something until you hear how I explain it. But it is clear that these are not actual locusts here. And I'm going to give you three reasons here, and then there'll be several more scattered throughout the message. But first of all, they did not eat grass or any green thing. They didn't eat any trees, whereas actual locusts eat these things, and that's all they do. That's their purpose of existence, is eating those and multiplying. So that's one reason. Secondly, verse 11 says that these locusts had a king over them. But actual locusts have no king. And I'm going to give you a chapter and verse on that in a little bit. And thirdly, these locusts are described as having characteristics that are grotesque when applied to actual locusts. So these are some kind of creatures that are being reserved in the bottomless pit until the time of this awful woe judgment in Revelation 9. Because they came out of the bottomless pit, these creatures may very well be, and I'm convinced they are, demons embodied in locust-like creatures. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. We come back to that now, as I promised a few moments ago. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. This refers to demons who were chained in the bottomless pit after some rebellion against God back there somewhere in the distant past. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, now that's what demons are. They're the angels that followed Satan in his rebellion. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. I believe that's referring to these same creatures. Now look at Jude 6, the book just before Revelation. Jude, verse 6, refers to these same demons. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Because of the extreme seriousness of their sin, God incarcerated certain fallen angels in a place of severe torment and isolation to await their final sentencing to the lake of fire, which takes place in Revelation 20:10 and 20:13 and 14. Now, millions of these demons are shut up in the bottomless pit, and this great host of demons will be released from their prison under the first woe judgment. Think about that. They've been in there probably since the fall, of Satan. And we don't know when that was. It was way back there somewhere. Some of them may have been put there when they rejected Noah's preaching of the gospel during the flood. They've been there locked up, isolated, in the darkness all this time. Suddenly, an angel takes a key and opens the bottomless pit, and they all come out. You know they're going to come out of there with a vengeance. The release of these demons will come during the tribulation. That's what this portion of the book of Revelation is about. Well, in his commentary on Revelation, John Phillips says, quote, imagine what this world would be like if the doors of all the prisons should suddenly be opened and all the criminals set free, allowing them to freely practice their unlawful behavior, unquote. Well, something much worse than this is coming in the fifth trumpet judgment. Awful demons, taking the form of locusts, will swarm out of the abyss to plague the earth. In this first woe, God brings demons into direct contact with unrepentant sinners, who, by the way, will spend eternity with those demons in hell. The eighth plague on Egypt in Exodus involved a great swarm of locusts that ate up every green thing and darkened the land. Let's turn and read about that in Exodus 10, 14 and 15. Exodus 10, 14 and 15. I've been impressed as I've studied Revelation this time to note the similarity between these plagues in Revelation in the tribulation and those in Exodus. Exodus 10, 14 and 15. And the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. And they did eat every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. Well, as we read that, I'm sure you noted there's a great contrast between the locusts in our text with and those in Egypt, of which we just read in Exodus 10. First of all, those in our text were commanded not to eat the trees or the grass or any green thing. The only thing they were to do was to torment men without the seal of God in their foreheads. And secondly, the locusts in our text will have stingers like those of scorpions. You ever seen a scorpion? Brother, you talk about something that'll curl your hair when you think about it. They walk around, they stick that tail up in the air and it curves over like that and they kind of dart around like that. If they ever tag you with that thing, you are really in trouble. They had stingers like scorpions, these in our text did. Those in Exodus did not. In verses 4 and 5 of our text, some commands were given these infernal creatures, locust creatures. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now these locusts were, I think the best word is scorpion-like. They had scorpion-like stingers with which to torment men. First, they were commanded not to eat anything green. We're talking about the commands. They were commanded not to eat anything green. Second, they were to torment only those who did not have the seal of God in their foreheads. They were to hurt only those who did not have the seal of God. Now, you remember, I trust, the sealing of God's people is described in Revelation 7:3. The attack of these locusts / demons was to be only on unsealed persons. Thirdly, we're talking about what they were commanded to do. They were commanded to bring upon men a certain kind of judgment. They were not to kill men, but they were to torment them with their stings for 5 months. Now, these locusts had unusual intelligence. All right, I don't know if I need to say unusual, but they had intelligence, not like actual locusts. Because they were ordered not to hurt the grass or any green thing. They had to be able to discern what was out there. And they were commanded not to hurt those that had God's seal on their foreheads. They had to be able to discern that. So they are intelligent beings of some kind. Well, that brings us next in verses 5 and 6 to the great... To the fact that great suffering was caused by these locusts. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. The word torment here is the same Greek word that is elsewhere translated pain. And so it means pain. Scorpion stings, I looked this up, they are agonizingly painful. You know what happens when you get stung by certain kinds of scorpions? A person immediately goes into severe convulsions and even paralysis. It's a terrible thing. And this suffering is to go on for 5 months, according to verse 5. This suffering is some kind of intense spiritual intense and severe spiritual and physical suffering that's sent as God's judgment on wicked men. I don't know what it is. That's all the information we have is what's said right here. Some kind of intense suffering, severe suffering, and not only physical but spiritual. We read about, let's think about the people that were demon-possessed in the New Testament. The two demon-possessed men of Gadara in the Lord's day were so tormented by demons that they went crazy and they lived out in the graveyard. And we read about them in Matthew 8:28. Also, the centurion's son was demon-possessed, and he was tormented with paralysis. The pain of the sting of these locust creatures was so intense that their victims sought to die but could not. This woe was so terrible that people will want to die, but they can't even kill themselves. Death will truly take a holiday for a brief time here. Historicists and preterists tell us that the prophecy of the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled. I never could see how people could believe that. They say the prophecy of Revelation's already been fulfilled. But let me ask you this. When in history was there ever a 5 month period when men could not die? You know, the worst periods in history we think of are the times when men died by the millions, like the Holocaust. When in history was there ever a 5 month period when men could not die? Never. But my friend, such a time will come, according to God's word. In this fifth trumpet judgment, God's sovereignty can once again be seen. We keep seeing God's sovereignty all the way through Revelation. Here again we see it. God exhibited his sovereignty over Satan in the book of Job by limiting Satan as to what he could do to Job. He said there came a time when all the sons of God presented themselves before God, and in the conversation between God and Satan, Satan said, you just let me work on him and he'll denounce you. And so in Job 2:6, the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. God was giving permission, and the one who gives permission is sovereign. This sovereign God never abdicates his throne. The terms was given in verse 3. Look at it. Verse 3, was given. And the term was commanded them in verse 4. And the word was given in verse 5. All of these recognize God's sovereignty over these infernal creatures. They're not acting out of control, out of God's control. Now, who gave these things? And who commanded these locust creatures? It was ultimately the sovereign God of the universe. Had to be. A swarm of ordinary locusts will strip everything green. But these creatures were strictly limited by God to tormenting men. God's 5-month limitation on the work of these awful beings speaks of his sovereignty over them. So, when the bottomless pit is opened, these awful creatures came out to do the work of judgment on this wicked world. Next, in verses 7 through 10, we have further description of these awful creatures. John gives us a careful description of these things. They are some kind of locusts. They are some kind of locusts because John calls them locusts, even though they are different from any locusts we know anything about. These are no ordinary locusts. These unusual locusts have stingers in their tails. Normal locusts do not. I know a locust is a grasshopper. A biblical locust is a grasshopper. We think these cicadas that crawl around in our trees and on our decks are locusts. But a grasshopper is a locust, biblically speaking. Well, grasshoppers don't have stingers in their tails. They'll spit tobacco juice on you, but they don't have stingers in their tails. These were a fearsome and dreadful host of monstrosities. And John tries to describe them by comparing them to other creatures. He does this by using such terms as like, which he uses 10 times in this text, and as it were. Now, I wish you would read that section again, these verses that we're looking at right now, verses 7 through 10, and draw a circle around the words like, as, and as it were. These terms, like and as it were, indicate that these are comparative descriptions and not literal statements. Now let's illustrate it. We won't read it, but we'll talk about it. Verse 7 says, their shape was like horses. They were not horses, but they were like unto horses. On their heads were something like crowns of gold. And they had faces like the faces of men. And hair like the hair of women. And teeth like lion's teeth. I must stop here and tell you what my father used to say. And only the older generation will probably appreciate this. But he said, I remember one time he was preaching on this. And he said, and this angel took the key and he opened the bottomless pit and all those hippies came out. They had breastplates like iron breastplates and wings that made sounds like many horses running to battle and tails like scorpions with stingers in their tails. John says in verse 5 that their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. 3 times in this text, their ability to inflict pain is compared to that of scorpions. Now, I believe it's really clear that these locusts are something terrible, something fierce, something monstrous, but they can only be described by comparing them with these other things. They're worse than anything we might imagine. These locusts have terrifying features, unlike any locust or scorpion or any other creature that's ever been seen on the earth. Nothing like this has ever been seen on the earth. But you know what? We must never say, well, I don't believe these things in God's word because nothing like this has ever been seen before. That's putting God's word to the wrong judgment. We must never say something like that. Next, in verse 11, we're told that these creatures had a king over them. Notice verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Once again, these are not ordinary locusts, because our text says that they had a king over them. Turn with me to Proverbs 30 and verse 27. Proverbs 30 and verse 27 says that locusts, ordinary locusts, have no king. They don't have a king. 30:27. The locust, that means ordinary locust, have no king. Yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Well, these locusts in the first woe judgment had a king over them who is called the angel of the bottomless pit. This king's Hebrew name is Abaddon, while his Greek name is Apollyon. Some believe that this king was Satan himself, because his two names, Abaddon and Apollyon, mean destroyer. However, there are problems with this view. This angel is called here in verse 11, the angel of the bottomless pit. And in verse 1 of our text, he was given the key to the bottomless pit. Therefore, he must be the same angel that in Revelation 20 and verse 1 has the key of the bottomless pit and chained Satan in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Satan will surely not chain himself in the bottomless pit. Finally, in verse 12, we have a warning of future woes to come. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. So John warns here that God's wrath has not yet run its course. Two woes, trumpets 6 and 7, are yet to sound. So more judgments are to follow. In conclusion, in verses 20 and 21 of this 9th chapter of Revelation, we have a really sad and tragic fact stated. And it is that even after this horrible demon invasion of the earth, most people of the earth will not repent. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. I wonder this afternoon, will you repent of your sins? Some of you here today know that you have sinned greatly and that you need to be saved. Won't you turn from your sins right now, this very moment, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and make you acceptable to God? The Lord Jesus will save you if you will. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful for your warnings about these terrible things that are coming on the earth. We pray today, our Father, for these that are present that have never repented of their sins. We pray that they would come to Christ today by the moving and working of your Holy Spirit in their hearts and lives. We pray that all of us would profit from this. If nothing else, that we would be challenged to study deeper and learn more of your Holy Word in these things that are yet to come on this earth. We pray these things in Christ Jesus' holy name and for his sake. Amen. This is Pastor Lawrence Justice. If you are looking for a church that believes in and stands for God's Word in this day of wickedness, worldliness, and apostasy, I strongly urge you to attend the services of our church. Victory Baptist Church in Kansas City, Missouri, stands for the gospel of Jesus Christ, with emphasis on the doctrines of God's grace, the New Testament church, and biblical missions with reverent worship and Christ-centered preaching. Such churches are not easy to find in these days of religious entertainment and endless activities. If you are concerned about traditional biblical worship and serious doctrinal and expository preaching, I want to invite you to consider moving to the Kansas City, Missouri area and joining us. When you are traveling on business or vacation, why not plan to be present in our services on Sundays and Wednesday evenings? Or why not make a special trip just to visit us? It's easy to contact us for information about our church. Call us on the phone at 816
761-7184. Email us at lajustice99@yahoo.com. Visit our church website at www.victorybaptist.us, or just drop in on Sundays and Wednesdays at 9601 Blue Ridge Boulevard in Kansas City, Missouri, 64134.